Well, good morning. Glad that you are here, and I look forward to what the Lord has in store for us today and get the chance to worship together. I do want to say, if you're a guest here in person or online, we'd love to connect with you. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, just a little bit of information to know how we can connect with you, know how we can serve you. And so just thank you so much for filling that out, and we want to know how we can serve your family, and just look forward to connecting with you. So excited about the day. We are going to, in just a few moments, we're going to sing unto the Lord and worship Him, have a time where we dig in and study the Word of God together, an opportunity to respond, and then worship Him through our giving. And so this morning, I just want to take a moment and try to focus our heart and attention on this time of prayer. And let me just say, we try to begin with as few announcements as possible and just to try to keep you a little bit informed, but also we really want this time as best we can to completely be given to focusing our heart and our attention on the Lord and worshiping with Him. And so that's why we try to early on begin with the time of prayer, because I know that life is busy. You've had a busy week. A lot of things have happened. I know nothing happens on Sunday morning the way to church. You know, it's all great and grand. But we just want to take this time, in case there was anything, just to have a moment of prayer to really seek the Lord and ask Him to focus our heart and mind, to help us to block out any distractions there may be, that we can really worship the Lord and we can hear from His Word and apply it to our lives. And so let me pray, and then we will begin our time of singing. Lord, You are gracious and kind and merciful. And I pray, God, that in all that we say and do this morning, that it would honor You. I pray that we would worship You in spirit and in truth. God, I pray that all the distractions, all the things that maybe we carried in this morning, that we would lay them before You, God. I pray that we would give them to You, that, God, You would help us to have a clear mind, a clean conscience this morning, and a ready heart to worship You. And Lord, I pray that as we sing, we would sing our praise and worship unto You, that we would sing truth about You, we would sing our affection and devotion to You. Lord, I pray that You would ready our heart for the preaching of the Word, and God, that it would be fertile ground this morning, that it would bear fruits of righteousness. And Lord, I pray You would be with all those that have joined us online this morning, help them to worship You as well, to engage. And God, I pray that they would have clarity and wisdom and devotion this morning. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. You stand as we sing Almighty.
Your throne, there is no one like You. You have no equal, Your kingdom reigns. Yours is the highest of every name, there is no one like You. Angels will never end. There is no one
seated this morning. Isn't that such a wonderful truth that we sang as we have been listening to the messages that God has laid on Pastor Chris's heart and talking about biblical stewardship? And we think about what God has given us. We truly want to give something for Him, don't we? This morning, as Beck and I lead this song, From Whom All Blessings Flow, we want to invite you to sing along with us, but it talks about the gifts that we might be able to give the God who blesses us so greatly each and every day. Listen to maybe the first verse and then join in the second verse and sing this wonderful new hymn with us.
What gift of love could I offer to a king? What weight or worth could be held within my offering? When He alone is worthy. A glory song is inscribed upon my heart. This treasure held in an alabaster jar I break to bring Him all the glory. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. What sacrifice could be equal to His own? The cross of Christ has declared that there is not I owe. Yet I know I owe Him all. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. God from whom all blessings flow. Our Father God, the infinite, the matchless King, magnificent, the living Christ, the servant Son, the prophesied, the saving One, the Holy Ghost, gift from above, the faithful friend, the seal of love, this life, this heart, this song to Him, my all in all, my everything. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures hear me low. Praise Him above. All blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures hear below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, amen. Excited to get the privilege to stand before you again, once again this morning. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. And, well, God's been good to us time and again. And this morning I want to share with you a message from the book of Malachi, if you want to take a moment and try to find that. It's right before the New Testament begins, the book of Malachi. But before you begin, I need to tell you something, and some of you will know what this means, but I need to tell you this: I love you. You know what they say when a preacher tells you he loves you before he starts preaching: look out, all right? I believe the Lord's really worked and moved, and He's challenged me and challenge my heart and my life, and through this series, as we continue this series of biblical stewardship and just focusing on giving and our finances as it honors the Lord. And we have taken a few weeks here and set aside to really focus in on this. And so, first week, God owns everything. Second week, I own absolutely nothing, which follows. If God does own everything, I don't own anything. And then last week we talked about faith honors God with the tithe, with the 10%. We really honed in on what is a tithe, and that a tithe is 10%. That's what the word inherently means, and the importance of that tithe. And so this morning I want to preach to you a message that bring the full 10% to the church, to the local church. And that's the title of this message. And we're going to focus in Malachi chapter 3. In just a moment, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. But before we read the text this morning, I need you to understand the context. And so this small book of Malachi, there's some powerful passages that come out of this book that we are familiar with. I believe when we read verse 10, you'll likely maybe have heard that or referenced that or heard it talked about before, but I want to share some truth with you from that passage this morning. But see, the children of Israel, the Hebrews had come out of slavery, the nation was established, and then the Israelites began to rebel against God. They began to have all these false idols and do all these things that God told them not to do, and so they end up in captivity. Many of them are taken out of the land. There's a remnant that's left there, and the country itself, the nation, is divided into two parts, and the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and that's where we read about through the Old Testament these different kings of Judah and Jerusalem, all these things that are going on. And so the whole nation is given over into captivity. Well, now when we pick up in Malachi, the nation of Israel has come back and Jerusalem has come back, and they began reestablishing things. Their world had been turned upside down, okay? We could relate to that, right? Now, it felt like we went into captivity, right, in 2020, and still fighting that a little bit. But what began to happen is they came back, and you know what they did? They began looking, go, hey, let's try to get things back to normal. And I know we don't use that word and think about that, but here they are, they're trying to get things back to normal. And for an average person walking through the city, it would have probably felt fairly normal. A lot of normal life was happening. A lot of things were taking place that they remember that was familiar to them. They were even having restored the temple, and the worship in the temple was going on. But there was a problem. There was a big problem. Was that although everything on the outside looked like normal, there was a deep heart issue. You see, because although they had put things back in place and everything looked right and looked fixed, there was a major issue because they were not worshiping God out of a pure heart. One of the things they were doing, they were bringing lame sacrifices. See, the law is very clear about what kind of sacrifice should have been brought for various offerings. And they should have been clean. It should have been the best of the best. But instead of doing that, they were bringing an animal that maybe had a bum leg or had a spot on it or whatever the case may be. They were bringing lame sacrifices when the law explicitly said not to do so. They were profaning the name of God. They were not loving Him with a pure heart. Although they were going through the motions, but how many of you know this morning that you and I can be just as guilty of showing up this morning and going through the motion and in no way expressing our love and devotion for God? We can play church. Well, I saw a pastor tweet this week, a friend of mine, he said, some people aren't coming to church because they don't want to wear a mask, but the reality is many of us have been wearing a mask for a long time. That's what the children of Israel had been doing. So God rebukes them for not loving them with a pure heart. God rebukes them for not giving Him their best, but their leftovers. Something that wasn't costly to them. And they're not honoring God. So that's the context of our passage this morning. That they have come back from captivity. Things seem to be back to normal, but not exactly. They're not honoring God the way He had outlined in the Scripture. And so with that, Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. If you have found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? For I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we thank you for your word. And God, I stand before you praying you would empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Hide me behind your cross, I pray. God, I pray that you would speak to our heart this morning. You would stir up fruits of righteousness in our lives this morning. And I pray if there's anybody here, anybody watching online, that does not yet know Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, again, I want to walk through this and talk to you about the importance of bringing the full 10% into the local church. Now, I want to be very clear. Our passage this morning is specifically directed at the nation of Israel. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few moments, but I want us to see this important. But if you're taking notes, the main idea of the text this morning is that God desires for us to give faithfully to the local church, the local body of believers. And the question I want to ask you this morning, and it's more directly tied to a portion of our text this morning, is have you left God? Have you left God? We're going to see in a moment where the Israelites were convinced they were doing great. They were rocking right along. But as we see from our text this morning and the way that God speaks to them, they had some issues. And friend, you and I need to come before the Lord this morning and ask ourselves, have I left God? Have me and my family, have we left God? And this morning out of the text, I want to see three calls to action. And then the fourth is a promise from God. So here we've talked about God owns everything. We own nothing. Faith honors God with the 10%. And this morning we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of how this ought to look like. This call to action that God lays before us and then the promise that He gives us. Number one, the call to action that we see is a call. God commands us to return. God commands us to return. You don't have it this morning, but in verse 6 he says, "For I'm the Lord and I do not change." Man, that is a mouthful, and thanks be unto God that God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. If God should wake us up tomorrow, He will be the same God. And the day after that, the same God. He's the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshiped. He's the same God that will be forevermore. He said, "I am the Lord and I do not change." You know what that means this morning? As we study the Word of God and we look at the promise in just a moment, we can trust God because the same God who gave it thousands of years ago is the same God that will honor it today. Okay? We ain't got to the promise yet, but we're going to get excited about it. All right? Verse 7. All right? "Yet from the days of your fathers," that means long ago, "you have gone away from my ordinances." You've rebelled. You've gone away from them. And notice this. He said, "And you've not kept them." Here's the call. Here's the command. "Return to me and I will return to you." It is a command. It's an imperative that is given here. Return to God. And they go on. He goes on, says the Lord of hosts. And then he answers for them. He knows what's in their deep, dark heart this morning. "In what way have I left you? In what way have we not? How shall we return?" And they continue this dialogue, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But friends, that's often what we do. When a preacher or a pastor or the Word of God convicts us and calls us to return and calls us, and we talk about praying for revival. We went through 21 days of praying for revival. Dear friend, revival has to start right here. You've got to draw a circle and get in it and go, "God, you begin with revival in this circle." And oftentimes when we hear these sort of difficult truths and things that really confront us, we begin to make excuses. And what God does with the children of Israel, He already knows they're not going to be ready to respond. Because if you take a 40,000 foot view, look at their life and at what's happening in the city, all is good. They've got all the boxes checked. They're going the right places. They're around the right people. They're doing the right activity. But when you take the binoculars of life and zoom down in, and the Spirit of God tears back the facade, you begin to realize there's some deep, dark issues that are there. Friend, I wonder this morning, yes, we're talking about in the context of tithing and our finances. I wonder if from a 40,000 foot view, look at your life, everything's good. You're part of church, whether here in person or online. You're checking your daily Bible reading. You're doing all these sorts of things. But I wonder this morning if the Word of God by the Spirit of God doesn't take the binoculars and tear back the facade, look deep down into your heart, and He's saying this morning, "Return to me." Because there's some things that are going about in your life that aren't real, that aren't authentic, that aren't genuine. There's some things that you know that are out of line and out of place, and you're putting them off, getting them right. Dear friend, let me tell you this morning, out of love, get right with God. God is calling, return. Return. You've allowed things to steal joy. You've allowed things to steal peace from you. This morning, return. Listen, and this is for Christians primarily. Listen this morning. This is the same God who is there ready to receive you at salvation. And we convince ourselves in our mind, if I'll acknowledge this before God, it's as if there's an angry God standing on the edge of heaven ready to smite us. In reality, it's a loving Father looking on the horizon for the long-lost son to come back and return home, the prodigal to return, waiting to run and embrace you this morning. Return. I'm sure there's some of us in this room this morning going, I have not. I look generous, or I look the part, but I've not been honoring God with my finances. Dear friend, return. It says, from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from me. There's been a long history of this for them, but God calls them, says, return. What other choice is there? To stay in your sin, stay in your rebellion? That's not a good choice. Like, quit, return, right? Book of James in chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James talks, and 1 John talks about that if we say we have no sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. But we're in a deep, dark place if we sit this morning and go, man, I just nothing. I'm good. When in reality, the needs and the struggle is real. You know, there really is sin in my life. I need to confess it. God already knows it's there. Confess it. Repent. Return to God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Thank you, Lord. That's what He says right here in verse 7, right? Look back. He says, return to me and I will return to you. Sometimes we're convinced like it's a terrible picture from an earthly father of somebody that's just trying to return and they won't accept them, but rather God is going, man, if you'll be honest, if you'll confess, if you'll be genuine in your return, I will embrace you. Return. So first, He commands us to return. The second action, the second call to action, too, God commands us to bring. To bring. Now look at verses 8 through 10. The question here, and for me, this pierces, this is difficult, this is where it's hard to hear. Will a man rob God? Remember, they ask Him, what way shall we return? He follows that up with a question. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Don't you love this, that the God who knows everything is, He's having this dialogue with Himself because He already knows. And some of you who are parents, you can do this at some level, right? You can ask the question and answer for your child and ask the question they're going to, right? Because it's predictable, all right? Okay, maybe not in your house. It is in ours, okay? And it nothing to do with us, I promise. But He's having this dialogue with Himself. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now, I believe there was a lot of other rebellion, a lot of other things that were happening, but it is very interesting that the sovereign God of creation hones in on their tithes and their offerings when He addresses that they have left Him. By the way, I know I've got 9 and 10 to read, and I'm going to get there. We have talked probably every week throughout this series about that we worship God through our giving. How important it is to worship God. And not only when you give is that a form of worship, but it enables your heart to worship God. Now hear me clearly, I love you, but He says, will a man rob God? And what He is saying is, those who don't give unto the Lord, those that don't tithe, have robbed God. That's the implication that's here. And now hear me clearly. It is really difficult to worship God through your life, through a service like this, when you're stealing from God. That's the implication that's here. I'll give you a Brother Ronnie line. Don't get mad at me. Look up. All right? That's what the Word of God says. So then verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. even this whole nation. Now here's verse 10. I want you to sing it. Bring, or I want you to see it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So here's the command to bring. He says, you've been robbing me. How have we robbed you? You've been robbing by not giving tithes and offerings. And he says, there's a curse on you. There's a curse. Remember, everything from the outside looked good. It looked like it was in order. So there were some deep, dark things that were happening. And in verse 10, he's a very clear command. Bring what? All the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And so remember, this tithe, we focused on this last week. The tithe is the 10%. So he's telling them, bring the full 10% in here to the temple, to the storehouse. We're going to talk about that in a moment. This is established in the Old Testament. Exodus 23, verse 19. He says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. And there's more context than there, but he says, bring your first fruits to the Lord. The temple was the place of worship, and it was the indication of God's presence. It's where His presence was. The storehouse was a room that was a part of the temple, and that's when people brought their tithes and brought these offerings. That's where it would be stored for later ministry, if you will, to support the activity and support the things that were happening and taking place. And so now you fast forward. This is the Old Testament principle. You fast forward and look and go, when, what is that picture? What does that relate to in the New Testament? It relates to the New Testament local church. The local gathering of the body of believers. We see this principle carried over. We talked about a few weeks ago how this was established in Moses. It was established before the law. It was implemented within the law. It was carried throughout. Jesus highlighted. Then we see it in the New Testament with the local church. And so Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 give us a very small picture of people bringing the money, bringing their tithes to the early church for the work of the ministry. And so this principle is carried over. This is the New Testament local church that it's given through. We see this in Acts chapter 4, verse 37. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why? For the purpose of ministry. And so what is this call to bring? What are we to bring? The call is to tithe the first 10% given to the local church. And now here's where it gets really hard. You and I don't believe scripturally you can make an argument against these things. That there's a lot of great organizations, there's a lot of great things out there, but I believe biblically, you and I are called to give the first 10% of whatever we make to our local church. Now, it's a call to give, to tithe. Now, here's what's hard. It's to tithe without strings attached. See, because we said God owns everything. So in reality, God owns 100%. And God is just gracious enough to say, okay, I'm only calling you, I'm only commanding you to give your first 10%. Now, we're going to talk about over and above giving next week, but that's a whole different thing. But that first 10%, you and I are commanded to tithe that to the local church. But let me tell you what happens often, especially in churches in America, is that you and I, or church members, tend to try to use their tithe to push around weight. And here's the reality. If God owns everything, He's called me to give 10%, and He's called me to give it through the local church, then you and I, it's our responsibility to give that, to be then involved in ministry to help determine, hey, what ministry, what things need to be happening. But it is not our job or our responsibility to try to push or hold back and make decisions and impact by whether we give or not. Because somehow we've fallen into this idea that this is mine and I'm going to give it, but only if the church does X. Or only if the church does Y. Or if they decide to do that, I'll just hold it back. Friend, let me give you a heed of warning. That's a very dangerous place to be. To use what God has given you and called you to give as if a power play is to be used by it. But rather, he says, bring it. Bring it into the storehouse. For us, bring it to the local church. There is no greater. For us, we talk about nonprofits, all that sort of thing. There's no greater institution, organization, anything that is, makes more impact than the local church. By the way, just as a practical side note, go try to find a hospital that was not started by a Christian group. Evangelicals, Catholics, Christian churches. They're out there, but they're very few and hard to find. Places in Africa that there was no church until evangelicals showed up and God used them. There's no greater organization, if you will, no greater institution in where kingdom impact happens. But God calls us to tithe to the New Testament local church. I told you before we started, I love you. All right, I know it's hard truth. It's difficult. But I believe this is what the Word of God teaches very clearly. So the third call to action, number three, God commands us to test. To test. Look at verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And notice this language. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. This is God. Remember, verse 6, I am the Lord of hosts, and I do not change. Now in verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring all the tithes. And he says, and try me now in this. And notice, this is an imperative. This is a command. He says, try me. And to try me now is test me now. Now, don't wait. He doesn't say wait for things to get better, wait for things to look up. But he says, test me now. Put me to the test now. And I realize for many of us, this makes us uncomfortable, but this is the Word of God, and this is the God that does not change. And I genuinely believe God always blesses obedience, but the command here, he says, bring it and try me in this. If I won't be faithful, we'll look at the promise in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give out of a burden, give out of a blessing, the way that God has blessed us and given to us. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God gives them the principle, try me, test me, see if I won't be faithful. Verse 6, I'm the God who never changes. Verse 10, bring it and test me now in this. That's what the Word of God says. Just recently, one of our sweet, dear saints in the faith went home to be with the Lord, Miss A-Day. And, I miss Miss A-Day going up and down the hall. I'd see her before or after Sunday school and with her walker pushing down through there and knowing just all the different physical struggles, but man, that smile, I miss that smile. And she recently went home to be with the Lord, but I was telling her daughter, Miss Rhonda, around when funeral and things were happening about, we had a particular Sunday about a year and a half ago. We had had some work and a water leak, and guys thought they'd come and fixed it, and then pulled up, and our street out front was flooded, it was right there at the main water line, so just couldn't have church. Some of you may remember that, and so we had to cancel. And so Jonathan and I are still hanging around church, trying to catch people, let them know, hey, we're not able to have services or whatever. This is pre-COVID deal. And so I was telling her about this because that day, Rhonda, her sister was in, and so her sister had brought Miss Ada up, and she had gotten the call that we were not having church. And for whatever reason, Jonathan and I were on the south side here, and she pulled up in that parking lot, and the daughter got out and visited with us, and Miss Ada opens the door, and she takes her little envelope. She goes, "Hey, I came to pay my bill." Miss Ada, you don't have to shout that. Like, that sounds a lot worse than what it ought to be, but oh man, me and Jonathan have talked about that often. So we're sharing that story with Miss Rhonda, and this is what Miss Rhonda told me. She goes, "Well, since COVID," she goes, "the very first thing Mom always did is she took her checkbook out and she wrote out her tithe. And she'd tear it out, she made a count for it, and she would lay it out, and she was concerned about that until it was brought to church by somebody at some point." Dear friend, let me speak to a younger generation that's here or online. There's a generation ahead of us that specifically in this area of our lives we could learn a lot from. Because there is a generation that many of you are here, we stand on your shoulders, many have gone on to heaven. We sit in a building of faithful givers. And first, I want to say to you, those of you that have faithfully given through the years, thank you. Thank you. This side of heaven will not reveal the impact you've made. And for many of us in a room, it would do us well to sit down with some Miss A days and hear how God blessed the giving. He says, "Try me now in this. Test me in this. See if I won't be faithful." I don't know that I'll ever forget that. And so God calls us to test, to try Him in this. And then He gives us a promise. Number four. God promises to bless us. God promises to bless us. So look at verse 10 again. We're going to read through verse 12. But He says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven," here's the promise, "if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." He says that He promises to bless those who are faithful. This is what He tells the children of Israel. Listen to what He says. He says, "See if I won't. I'll open up the windows of heaven." This is the promise. "And pour out such blessing that you can't receive it." He said, "I'll bless you in such a way you won't be able to handle it. But I want you to notice the nature of the blessing in verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Notice the hedge of protection that he puts around. The things that steal from them, the devourer, the things that consume them. He says, he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. God doesn't promise that they're not going to have to go out and work and till the ground and not have fruit. But what he says is, as you give unto me and you serve, you're faithful to do what I've called you to do, that God's hand of blessing will be upon that. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. It's a promise of his faithfulness. We see this windows of heaven, this picture pouring out from the windows of heaven in a few different places. We see it in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you're righteous before me in this generation. And so he sets it up for the when Noah goes into the ark. And then chapter 8, verse 2, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from the heaven was restrained. So we see a little bit later in chapter 7 that the windows of heaven open up. That's what brings the flood, and then it's stopped when there's enough, when God has accomplished what His purpose and His plan is. And it's a picture of abundance. And dear friend, you've heard me time and again, I'm not a name it and claim it, a blab it and grab it preacher by any means. But I do believe, every fiber of my being, that the God who says, I am the same forevermore, and He says, bring this, test me in this, and He says, watch and see the way that I'll bless that. His hand of blessing is on faithful giving. And listen to this. God always blesses obedience. God always blesses His obedience. Dr. Ronnie Floyd wrote it this way. He said it this way. He said, when you're faithful, you understand that God owns everything, and you're faithful to give the 10%, God makes the 90% stretch. That's good. God blesses that, and God uses that. God blesses faithful giving. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. God says, try me in this, and I'll be faithful. I'll open up the windows of heaven in such a way you won't be able to contain the blessing that God gives. And by the way, that further perpetuates more giving. So what does this look like? How do we respond this morning? Some of you may need to return. Some of you maybe have convinced yourself that 40,000 foot view, everything looks good, but then this morning what's happened is the Spirit of God has taken the light of the Holy Spirit and shined it deep down in your heart and convicted you in some areas. And this morning, what you need to do is you need to write where you're at, or come get on this altar this morning, or maybe you're at home, kneel right where you're at and confess, God, this area I've sinned against you. This is an area I've been wrong. This is an area I've not been right. And you need to confess that before the Lord and seek His forgiveness and return to God. Say, by your grace, I'm going to be different. I'm going to make a different choice. I'm going to follow you by your grace. And then some of us need to renew our commitment to bring the tithes to the local church, this is your local church. I'm going to be faithful to tithe as the Lord has called me, the way the Lord has commanded me. And trust God's hand of blessing. Now let me just say this, just as a part of our time of invitation, a call to action. There's some of you that you've got your checkbook, you love your checkbook, you write your checks. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. We got some Miss A-Days in the room that, man, you first thing you do, you write your check and you lay it out, you set it apart to the Lord. There may be some in the room that maybe never filled out a check in our life, and you do everything online. And listen, you can honor the Lord that way as well. And this is what I would challenge you to do. You give online, you can set it up. You know what you make. What your check is. Help yourself be diligent. Help yourself be faithful. Go online. You can go to our website and you can set it up where, and you make it recurring, where you get paid on the 1st and 15th. You can set up on the 1st and 15th. X dollars are coming out. Because I value this. I believe this. That's the way that Miss Ade wrote it out. That's the example that many have gone before us. And that's the command of Scripture that we set aside. We give that first 10%. Now listen, I understand not everybody's comfortable doing online. And let me say it again. That's okay. But some of us may need a little help. Some of us may need to be faithful in this. There's multiple different ways to give, but commit this morning. I'm going to be faithful to give first 10% to the local church as the Scripture has commanded. Now, finally, you may say this morning, Pastor Chris, I don't even know that I'm a Christian. I don't even know that I'm born again. I've never had that moment where the Spirit of God has convicted me that I'm a sinner, that I need to be saved. Or maybe this morning, the Spirit of God has shown me all the areas that I've never trusted Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you set up recurring giving. It doesn't matter how many times you write a check. The reality is that if you've never signed the check of your life over to the Lord Jesus, given all that you have to all of Him, none of this stuff matters. Only decision that matters for you most this morning, if you don't know Christ, is giving your heart and life to Jesus. I pray that you'll do it today. I genuinely believe if you'll give your heart and life to Jesus, tomorrow you'll wake up and regret you didn't do it sooner. It's the single greatest decision anybody will ever make. Give your heart and life to Jesus today. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And I pray this morning, God, anybody here that's lost and need to be saved, God, I pray right now in their seat where they're at or at home, God, that they'll cry out to you, beg you, God, for salvation and forgiveness. If that's you this morning, you can pray something like this, but please understand the words of a prayer have never saved anybody, but it's the attitude of your heart. Pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. I give everything to you. I pray that you'll save me. In Jesus' name, with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, if you prayed that and you meant it with all your heart and you're here, you just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask God to save me this morning. I would say if you're online, you just pray and ask God to save you. There's a number in the top right-hand corner of the screen. Would you text that number and say, hey, I pray and ask Jesus to save me today? God, I pray in these next few moments that God, during this time of invitation, we would be still and quiet before you, and I pray, God, you would help us to respond in obedience to your word. This front is open for you. If God's dealing with your heart and you want to come and pray, you're certainly welcome to do that. Maybe you want to turn and make a sort of an altar right where you're at and just kneel right in front of the pew. You're certainly welcome to do that. Take this moment of what God has spoke to your heart this morning and respond. All the other stuff after church can wait. Focus your heart and attention on the Lord. And maybe God didn't stir your heart this morning, pray for your neighbor. Lord, you are gracious and kind. And I pray, God, that you would help us to serve you faithfully. Thank you, God, for the commands and the promise. Lord, I pray that we would honor you in all that we say and do, and worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Our worship team is coming back, and go ahead, brother, and we're going to stand, and let's sing unto the Lord, where Jesus is King. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. Our men are going to move and be able to be at the back door so they can receive the offering, and just grateful for you being here. If you are guests, we want to connect with you. If you're online, we want to connect with you as well. And so let me pray, and I hope that you have a great week. All right, Lord, you are gracious and kind. And God, again, anew and afresh, we declare that you are King and there's none like you. Thank you that you are the God, forever, same God forevermore, same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, pray that we'd honor you in all that we say and do, that we would serve you well this week, go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.